Good morning. Our Hebrew Bible lesson is found in the Pew Bible on page 168 and in the large print Bible on page 218. The title is A New Prophet Like Moses. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you request of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. The word of God for the people of God. And now if you will join me for the responsive psalm reading, it's found on page 832 in your United Methodist hymnal. It's Psalms 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Full of honor and majesty are the words of the Lord, whose righteousness endures forever. Who has caused this wonderful works to be remembered? The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord provides food for the faithful and is ever mindful of his covenant. The Lord has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of the Lord's hands are faithful and just. The precepts of the Lord are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. The Lord sent redemption to his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and wondrous is God's name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. The praise of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord for the people.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Be found on page 160 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 208 in a large print edition. It's a lengthy passage, and Will told me to read it briskly. So, are you ready? I won't go as fast as like an auctioneer, but here we go. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols. We know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I might not cause one of them to fall. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So may I offer the opportunity to rise as you are able. So for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, please rise. Today we'll be reading the gospel of Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. In the Pew Bible New Testament, you'll find it on page 33. And if you're looking at the large print edition, it's on page 43. Hear these words. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed and kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So I want you to try this idea on for size. I believe that it may well be time for many of us to unlearn what we think we know about Jesus and the Bible. It may well be that we cannot see the tree for the forest. Let me give you a short story about that. When I was a young buck ranger, I had the absolute privilege of working at the south rim of the Grand Canyon, talking to visitors from all over the world about the geology of that big hole, as well as the natural history of the surrounding area. How many of you have ever been to the south rim of Grand Canyon National Park? Many. Okay, good deal. Well, if you have, then you will probably remember what it's like to approach the Grand Canyon from the south. If you haven't been there, let me paint a word picture of that journey. If you were to start in Flagstaff, Arizona, you begin an amazing journey. And as you start there, you are in a forest of huge ponderosa pine trees. And then as you go northwest, you quickly drop down into the vast and lonely expanses of high desert and ancient lava flows. But as you motor northward, the landscape changes to pinyon and juniper trees, which, as you may really recognize, that's not really a forest by most people's definition. But finally, as you approach Grand Canyon Village, Tucson, you're back again in a fabulous, rich, dark green forest of ponderosa pines that goes right up to the Grand Canyon's rim itself. For most people, it's a forest and nothing more. That's what they see, is a forest. Well, when I would lead nature walks up to the rim as a ranger, I took great delight in inviting folks off the trail, and I asked them to approach a single majestic ponderosa pine tree. Then I would ask each person to take off their hat and stick their nose into the intricate puzzle piece bark of that lovely tree and take a long sniff. Have you ever smelled a ponderosa pine? Some of you are doing this. Well, it's not just in Arizona. It works in Colorado, too. But if you smell a ponderosa, I believe it is truly delightful. Now, some people, most people, think that it smells like vanilla, and other people smell butterscotch. But whichever aroma you smell, I can almost guarantee that you will never again look at a ponderosa pine forest without remembering and thinking of that wonderful smell of that individual tree. Sometimes, just like the first-time visitor to Grand Canyon, we cannot see the tree for the forest. I believe that the same thing is probably true for many of us when it comes to Jesus Christ and the Bible. Especially for those of us who grew up in the Christian church, I wonder if our view of Jesus is often colored by all of the stories we've learned about Him over the many years of our lives. Maybe we are so familiar with what we know about the Bible that we're not reading or hearing it as the amazing and life-transforming message that God intended. I wonder if we've become so comfortable with our view of Jesus that we really may not be really seeing Him as the radical, revolutionary leader and teacher and prophet and Son of God that He truly is. I wonder if we have domesticated Jesus and made Him into the meek, mild, and gentle teacher, the purveyor of God's mercy and grace, the guy we remember from our Sunday school days. Why do we think, some of us, that Jesus looks like that? Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus is all of those things, but He is also so very much more. I wonder if the person who is brand new to the Bible, the person who's brand new to the teachings of Christ, may not actually have a clearer view of our Lord and Savior. Think back to the story that we had for Mark today. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When you look at the image on your bulletin cover, you may well remember that Jesus was teaching from the Jewish Torah, what we have come to know as the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. Now, probably all the people in the synagogue were well-versed in the Torah. They understood it. But Jesus was teaching from a whole new perspective of this same old material. Scripture makes it clear they were astounded at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This was a brand new message from a unique teacher. Remember last week's reading from Mark? Actually, it was 2 weeks ago. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." But the folks in the synagogue didn't recognize who Jesus was. But the unclean spirit surely did. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing the man and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. Why is it that all the well-educated church people who knew their scripture didn't recognize the true Messiah in their midst, but the evil spirit recognized Jesus right away? Have you lost sight of Jesus the Christ, the true Messiah of the living God? Clear your mind if you can and listen carefully to this bedrock truth from 1 Corinthians that Daniel read. Indeed, even though there are many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, and as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Hear this truth. There is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Another truth from Psalm 111. God sent redemption to His people through the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. My friends, it may well be time for many of us to unlearn what we think we know about Jesus and the Bible. It may well be that we cannot see the tree for the forest. We may not really see Jesus because of what we think we know about the Bible. Maybe it's time to hear what the Bible is actually teaching us for the first time. As the psalmist said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Well, as you may well know, if you've looked at the calendar, we're quickly heading into the contemplative and repentant time of Lent. And as your pastor, let me offer you two important suggestions of the way that you might practice the fear and respect and understanding of God that may well lead you to wisdom in the Lord. First, I personally invite you to join our Thursday Bible study group as we take on the Lenten study of Mike Slaughter's most recent book entitled Renegade Gospel, The Rebel Jesus. We will start this 6 weeks book and video study on Thursday, February 19th, and I'd like you to be part of our group, or we can form a new group if you got a different time. Renegade Gospel? Rebel Jesus? You bet. I believe that after this course, you will most definitely see Jesus and your discipleship in a brand new light. Secondly, I offer you another opportunity and a challenge. During the 6 weeks of Lent, you should commit to reading or listening to the entire New Testament of Jesus Christ. From the Gospel of Matthew through Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the Epistles, all the way to Revelation in that 6 week time. And here's what I offer you. I offer to answer any questions that you may encounter or to discuss any of the issues that you will definitely face during this study. And if you don't have a Bible, I will set you up with your very own free copy. Because I believe that that practice, that discipline, could be a vital commitment for you for Lent to read the entire New Testament with new eyes or for the very first time. As you think about the Bible readings for today, call to mind the voice of the unclean spirit that had claimed this poor man in the synagogue. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Indeed. There is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. My friends, I pray that you personally will come to a vital and living understanding of who Jesus is in your life. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.